الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وبعد. Every Muslim and every Muslimah are required to have faith, to believe in the six pillars of Iman. أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. To believe in Allah. To believe in Allah in the way He described Himself in the Quran and by the words of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in His rububiyyah, in His uluhiyyah, in His names and attributes mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. To believe in the angels and the functions of the angels that Allah told us about, especially the angels He mentioned by name. To believe in the books Allah revealed to His prophets and messengers. To believe in all of the prophets and messengers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. To believe in al-akhirah, the day of resurrection, the day of judgment that it's coming, and its description as Allah mentioned in the Quran and by the words of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And to believe in predestination, al-qadr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and controls everything. What happened, what's happening, what's going to happen forever, He knows it, He controls it. However, we have to know that our actions are ours, our choices are ours. Allah only facilitates and creates for us the things that we wanted to do and we wanted to say. So it's us who do these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls everything through al-qadr. So these are the six pillars of Iman. We need to believe in them. Every Muslim has to believe in them. Every Muslimah has to believe in them. And this is very important, also followed by the faith and practice of the five practical pillars of Islam. أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. To give the testimony. وتقيم الصلاة, establish the salah, meaning on time and properly, which means you have to know how salah is conducted properly. وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة and pay the zakah Allah required from your wealth. وتصوم رمضان and fast during the month of Ramadan. وتحج البيت and make Hajj to the Kaaba at least one in your lifetime. So every Muslim and every Muslimah are required to believe in the six pillars of Iman and the five pillars of Islam. And the conditions and foundations of each of these pillars. So now, we're commoners. We are common. Once we were sitting in a class, and the brother gave a lecture, then some brother was saying there, after, you know, he wanted to make a comment, so he said, Alhamdulillah, we are all ignorant. And the sheikh said, you're the only ignorant here. Alhamdulillah, we're not ignorant. So commoners. What kind of car is best? This car. Which brand of that car? You know, this car this year. What kind of tires? MashaAllah. Which company, you know, I should invest in? MashaAllah, it's that company. What about insurance? That insurance is the best one and the cheapest. What about, you know, the kinds of foods, restaurants, you know, towns to live in, everything that has to do with this dunya, they're on top of it, the commoners. When it comes to the religion, they're commoners. Okay. Can you explain قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ for me? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Can you explain إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. Just three ayat. You've been reading them, if you're Muslim, all your lives. You've been reading them, hearing them all your life. Okay? So can you explain إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. We're commoners. How come you can give me a lecture about which company to invest in, which I wouldn't listen to because those companies, you know, so many of them do riba anyway. And I don't have money to invest to begin with. the companies and this and that, and this, you know, this is the best, you know, and explain to me YouTube, how it works, and TikTok. What is it, KitKat? Even KitKat, he will explain to me how it is made, from what. But in the Atainak al-Kawthar, what about al-Fatiha? Explain it to me, that, you know, just in simple words, with commoners. What did Allah create you, and us, all of us, for? To worship Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I only created the jinn and the ins so that they worship me. إِلَّا. Just to worship Him. So, but you're engaging in the creation, material, existence. You're not engaging with the Creator and fulfilling what you were created for, which is to worship Him and worship Him alone. SubhanAllah. You don't know how to worship Allah. You don't know how, meaning of the Quran. You know, okay, you're practicing Salah and other aspects of the religion, but do you really know the evidence to what you're doing and why? Or you just inherited it from your parents, from your family, from whatever? Do you really know the conditions of a Salah? What invalidates the Salah? See? What about the Siyam? What about the Zakah? You know how to do the Zakah? So when it comes to dunya, there's scholars. MashaAllah, the knowledge they can tell you and talked about it for hours. When it comes to the religion, Tawheed, the reason for which you were created, you're a commoner. And I'm complaining. About the generation of commoners we live with today, four generations before. So much lack of knowledge. This interest in seeking knowledge. Even when they attend classes or anything, they don't keep anything in here, and they don't practice, they don't change, except, you know, a few things here and there. Resistance for those who teach the Sunnah and try to implement the Sunnah, resistance all the way. Arguing, talking back, even, you know, being abusive, and doing all kinds of oppression, trying to suppress those teachers who call to the Sunnah. And the practice is based on lack of knowledge, is in grave danger of being rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've been doing da'wah for 40 years. This is water, I need it. I needed to drink water so many times after arguing with commoners. So they say we're commoners, but they argue about aspects of the religion. They say the commoners, they, you know, they challenge what the religion is telling them through the teachers of Islam. They challenge. So many times I heard when I say Allah said, yeah, but I think that. Don't think. Don't think, sorry. So they don't seek knowledge seriously. They don't implement except whom Allah gave mercy, you know, what they learn. The practice of the religion became just symbols that they inherit from their parents, from their community. They don't really know why they're making sujood or ruku'ah. What's the evidence behind that? And they do aspects of Islam based on the we're commoners thing. So don't seek knowledge. Don't implement the knowledge that you sought, that even if you remember it. Don't give or be merciful with those who are teaching you knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, arguing, talking back, and refutation from the commoners, and, you know, I think we should do this, we should do that. Well, you're a commoner, you shouldn't be offering or engaging in knowledge because you don't have it. The fact that you say you're a commoner, it means you don't have knowledge in the religion sufficient enough to argue for or against anything. So, what can we say? Islam suffered severely because of the commoners. I mean, these Islamic parties, Islamists, they mainly talk about the rulers. The rulers. Look at the biggest problem, the people. They are the ones who don't rule by what Allah has revealed. They're the ones who do not, except for a few of them, may Allah increase them, or a sizable, inshallah ta'ala, section of them, you know. But mainly, this is what we see, they don't, you know, implement the religion, they don't practice it. So many women don't wear hijab, which means so many of their families don't tell them to wear hijab to begin with. So many young men and women don't pray, which means their families are not requiring them to pray. See? Except those who are rebellious, anyway, the parents can't control them. We're not talking about this. We're not talking about the exceptions. Always, the Ummah has always had good in it, and so many good people. I'm talking about the general trend. So it is the society that has all these sins, that keep the sins alive, that won't listen to the teachers of the religion, that oppress teachers of the religion, and that involve itself in knowledge, even though they're not, you know, learned it in the religion. They didn't learn it, but they stick their nose in it. And strangely, they want to push the scholars to say what they desire. Otherwise, you're going to get at the case of the scholar and slander him and so all kinds of things. And he doesn't know. And he's a, these are scholars for dollars. Yeah. I don't believe there are scholars for dollars, but even if there are, at least they're scholars. And you're for dollars. The commoner who says this, you know. Scholars are scholars, at least they have knowledge, but you're for dollars. That's what it is. Let me tell you a story, and I hope the brother hears me, as I'm not going to mention his name. So I went to a khutbah a few weeks back, and it's a regular 50-minute khutbah, talking, 5 topics, 10 topics, 12. I once counted for one khatib 12 different topics in one khutbah, talking. Among what this khatib said to the people who pay his salary, you only care about this life. You only care about money, about shops, about this, about that. You could care about the dunya. We went into a demonstration last week, meaning the Muslim community in a demonstration. That's what they do. They don't learn, they just go demonstration. And half of the people who were with us did not know their Rabb. They called him Kuffar. Then he thought about it, said, no, I didn't mean that. I meant they don't worship their Rabb. He made takfir of them. So he's talking to the commoners who pay his salary. What's left, I thought, you know, thought somebody maybe should come down from the minbar, start slapping them. This is, you know, this is a good da'wah. But if I go there, give them a class on the adherence to the Quran and Sunnah, when is the guy going to think? My khutbah are about 20 minutes, 25 minutes in two languages. You know, I can't start giving khutbah for 50 minutes. I can't stand myself. If it is a class, it's a class. It's different. But the khutbah, you know, just tell them what you want to say and repeat a few evidences. And that's it. They go back home. They ask them, their family, what was the khutbah about? The man will say, or the son will say, the sheikh today spoke about this. this and that. We're done. But this guy, you know, and others, 50-minute khutbah. But he described the commoners, sadly, somewhat accurately, because they're only worried about this dunya, about increasing in money, the job and that job, and going to work, and come back from work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his remembrance, knowledge about Allah, the one who created us, who gave us all what we have, everything, is minimal. Remembering him subhanahu wa ta'ala in our dealings, in our the words we say, minimal. If a scholar of deviation comes to their masjid who is popular, Shaykh so-and-so is coming here, you go, mashallah, they're sitting, paying attention. It seems like they're paying attention. Attention. And that person says, Allah cannot be described as he made istiwa over his throne. Allah doesn't have hands and they're sitting. Because they're commoners. Okay, that's the excuse. How come you didn't respond to this guy? No, we're commoners. If a teacher of the Sunnah comes and teaches something about Tawheed, about that man who loved the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked Rasulullah in public, a man loves a people. He loved the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Maybe in his heart he said, how can I reach these people? How can I, you know, in this life maybe I can't. But he said this magnificent question. A man loves the people, but he can't possibly do the kind of works and actions that they do. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. One will be one with those whom he loves. In one of the narrations, Imam Bukhari and Muslim collected this hadith from Anas radiallahu anhu. He said, I love Abu Bakr, I love Umar, and I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings me, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love Abu Bakr, I love Umar, and I hope and wish that Allah brings me with them on the day of judgment, even though I cannot possibly do the kind of works and deeds they used to do. What can we say? We love Abu. We love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, all the Sahaba, and Anas. I can't possibly do the kind of work they used to do, but we're facing a lot of trouble. Those commoners distorted Islam in practice and don't have knowledge about the faith of Islam to defend it, to explain it. Allah knows what's in their hearts, but that's what the trouble that came to Islam from these people. They've divided into sects and groups, divided into millah, different millah, as the hadith mentions, tens of them. And they're always fighting with each other, disputing with each other, you know. They don't like each other, they're weak, they're backward in every aspect and sphere of life, science, because they are backward with regards to the religion itself. They don't want to learn it. They just don't want to learn it. And if they learn something, it's very difficult to see a change in their life to reflect that. Very difficult. There is, because the Ummah is not dead. It's just, we have major trouble. Islam has been suffering because of these commoners. They are the ones who are not ruling by what Allah has revealed, where the sin is, you know, publicly shared and done, where so many defiance of Allah and His law, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sharia, is being done with regards to money, the clothes, the way, you know, they're dressed, the hijab, the, so many things. I mean, you look around you, she said, this is the trouble that Islam is suffering from for generations now. Because of that, people who want to become Muslim could be confused. Is this one religion or 70 different religions? How come all these people have one religion and they're disputing with each other? How come you say you're Muslims, you don't practice the religion? How come you say this is, you know, that religion to follow, but you can't explain it to me? So, plus their behavior, because of their division, they're weak. They let the kuffar control them for generations now. Kuffar have the upper hand. And they don't have the right to do that because the kuffar are kuffar. They don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't recognize that Allah created them on this earth to worship Him and only to worship Him. If they have religions, they're false religions. Why do they have the upper hand above us? It's not only the rulers. The rulers are a small section of the community. Once I was talking to somebody who was, you know, telling me, rulers. I said, let me tell you something. I have never heard of a president or a king or a prince taking a few soldiers and going to people, knocking at the door, open the door, from door to door, from house to house. If you don't dance and listen to music and act like a fool and make sin public and stop your daughter from wearing hijab, we'll shoot you. Did that ever happen? It's the people who are doing all these things. Of course, the leaders and the rulers have a bigger share in the blame than individuals. But it's the people who are doing all this. It's the people who are reflecting in their behavior and their dancing and their singing and their TikToks and their whatever it is. It's them who are reflecting defiance of the Sharia in various ways. Also what they do, and this is the worst of it, the segment in the Muslim society, in every Muslim society, alhamdulillah, that is religious, adherent to the Quran and Sunnah, try to practice it and teach it, try to be good to their people and advise them and remind them, try to unite the Muslims around the Quran and Sunnah to regain their strength. The other segment that is, as I described, the commoners, they're oppressing them, they're stopping them, they're making their life hard and difficult. And in some areas, they actually attack them physically. And therefore, to make it complete, no seeking of knowledge, no practicing except a little of what they know. They don't allow people who have knowledge, who want to, you know, teach it, except in a few cases, to actually have an impact over the society. And being a society, they are the ones who have who practice all the sins that exist in that society. It's them. You see, the rulers did not come from Mars. They're a part of that society. They have the same names. They hire these communities, cousins and brothers and sisters and fathers. The soldiers that they have, they come from that society. The intelligence agencies, you know, the smart ones, who oppress Islam and Muslims, and they don't discriminate. Anyone who does Islam, right or wrong, they go after them. No discrimination here. So all this oppression that is directed at the Sharia and call us to the Sharia, institutions of the Sharia, and the reminders that they should practice the Sharia and follow Allah, you know, and understand the foundation of our religion, which is the six pillars of Iman. All this is being resisted so badly by the community, and the rulers have a big share in that. That's no, you know, that is true. However, the society itself is the reason for the existence of the rulers and the reason for the existence of sin. And just to give you an example, the commoners in the West, I'm being told that in a poll, Paul, they asked, and I don't believe in these polls anyway, because they're directed, you know, they know who to ask to get the answers they want. But anyway, they say 60+% of the Muslims in the West describe themselves as secularists. Another word for commoners. We're commoner. I am a commoner. So why are these commoners supporting the teachers of deviations who tell them there are holes in the documentation of the Quran, we have to rethink the idea that the Quran is Allah's kalam, worshipping the dead, you know, it's not shirk, it's done out of ignorance. Islam was rescued by Buddhist logic. There is no ayat of aqidah in the Quran. LGBTQ plus, you know, these are civil rights, and Islam supports, you know, activism like helping the poor, standing with the oppressed. These are oppressed, stick them in there. How come hundreds of thousands, millions listen to these people, and when people of the Sunnah come and tell them no, the struggle becomes ridiculing, you know, arguing, slandering, bringing points that have nothing to do with the topic. And all of them, they're trying to suppress people of the Sunnah who try to, you know, expose Bid'ah and its people. Communists. Oh, you're telling us you're communists. Why do you stick your nose in these issues? I mean, you should be silent at least and feel ashamed that you're a commoner. Feel ashamed that actually you say you are a commoner. Why are you sticking your nose? Because it is the society that has these ills. And the segment of the society that exists among Muslims, the Ummah is not dead, wallah. So many good men and women are there. They're struggling, all of them, everywhere, almost everywhere. They're struggling, struggling all the time. You know, so how come that you're trying to suppress the segment that is trying to teach you the religion so that you get out of this status of commoners? Commoners. Because those teachers of deviation, they impressed on you either with their fame, money, or you'd like it if people are degrading the religion and making it look less and less and less, and, you know, just watering down the religion and makes it look everything goes. You like it, those commoners, they like it. That's what they live for. And number four, because many of those teachers of deviations, they are doing the desires of themselves and of those people who follow them. So commoner. Well, if you're happy with that status, then don't talk, you know. Have some feeling for Islam. Somebody says, Allah said, Muhammad said, you know, your heart should go there. But don't do what I explained here. There is a large segment of the Muslim community, Muslim Ummah, who's still in good shape, mashallah, trying their best, facing so much trouble, so much oppression and resistance. Commoners, support these people for Allah's sake, for a change. You know, we don't need your fame, we don't need your money, you know, keep it. But so many times, we hear some strange refutation of the Quran and Sunnah to make you wonder, you know, what is it, these people? I'll give you one example, let you go. This is a class, it could be more than 25 minutes, right? It's a class. So once I was given a lecture in Florida about sutra having some kind of a barrier, you know, at least 15 inches in front of you when you were making salah, either a pillar in the masjid, of course, that's good, or the wall, somebody's praying in front of you, or, you know, a chair, you know, the leg of the chair, you put it right in front of you, not pray for the to the space between the two, you know, legs. No, I'm talking about it for how long? Maybe a half an hour describing the ayat, and I mean the ahadith, and Rasulullah used to do this and that, and the importance of it, and then and that, and how to do it. Then it was almost time for salah, so I stood up to pray sunnah. I think it was Isha. Anyway, to pray sunnah. And I brought a chair. I wasn't in front. I brought a chair. I put the leg of the chair in front of me as a sutra, so that people don't pass between me and my Qibla and disrupt my salah. And a person who was sitting the entire place, like he's agreeing. I said, mashallah, I have at least one attentive customer. It's that person, that man who came to me after I prayed. Is this how we downgrade Islam? I said, how? I said, you're praying to the chair, for the chair? I said, didn't you hear what we just said in the class? We're not praying for the chair. The chair is not the subject of our prayer. It's Allah. But we're, you know, putting a barrier so people don't come across in front of me and the Qibla and disrupt my salah. It is not the subject of my salah. It is a sutra. He said, is this how we downgrade Islam? So I remembered, you know, I lived in the Philippines for some time. I, you know, Allah created all kinds of traditions for people. In the Philippines, when they say yes, means no. When they say no, it means yes. I thought maybe this guy spent some time in the Philippines. Don't tell me you're communist. He's not going to cut it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having told you, he created you just to worship him, gave you all the information you need with regards to matters of the unseen, al-ghayb, about him subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the angels, about the prophets, about the books, about al-qadr, about the last day. Gave you how exactly you can and you should worship him, and asked you to seek knowledge in these things so you can practice them. You want to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you a commoner, and tell him, I didn't. I'm a commoner. Don't wait until it gets to that. Really. I feel mercy for you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Please change your ways. There is no commoner. You know what you're supposed to do. You just want to do something else and take care of this dunya and build this dunya. Allah did not put you on this earth to build up this dunya, but to build up your akhirah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.